The bottom line to this is when the Jaguars report to work in the morning, Urban Meyer will not be the coach of the team. Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator, will take over. He will be the interim head coach, and he will lead this team for the remaining part of the season before Jacksonville once again embarks on another head coaching search.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and off we go. And how about that news? After it came out that Josh Lambeau, it's just kind of funny that the head coach, Urban Meyer, is walking past a professional football player and he kicks him because he's stinking it up in practice. And he's like, hey, what the? You kicked me. What is? I mean, listen, we had a coach in high school who had a baseball bat. He'd carry a baseball bat. And if you lined up, he was on the defensive line. Defensive line coach. You line up wrong on the defense in practice, he'd come up and whack you with the bat.
And he'd give you such a smack?
He'd give you a shot. And it was like, oh, well, that's what happens. A professional football player got kicked by the head coach. I mean, that is just ridiculous.
Urban didn't make it the full 17 games.
That's unbelievable.
After deliberation over many weeks and a thorough analysis of the entirety of Urban's tenure with our team, I am bitterly disappointed to arrive at the conclusion that an immediate change is imperative for everyone. Shad Khan, the owner. I can totally believe that Shad Khan did that. He went on to say, I informed Urban of the change this evening. As I stated in October, regaining our trust and respect was essential. Regrettably, it did not happen. I completely believe that that's everything that owner said. If that came out for Cal, I wouldn't believe it. I would say, okay, a PR person crafted that. But on from Cal. For Jacksonville and Shad Khan, this is...
let's not talk about
this Cal. Is what happens when you try to make splashy hires. You need to just make the right hire. Sometimes splashy hire is the right hire. Uh-huh. But that, you know, they would have been much better off if they want a splashy hire going after a guy like Dabo Swinney. And having Dabo there with Trevor Lawrence. Of course, he was already in place.
Well, Urban is just, just a couple of years ago, dude was thought to be with Nick Saban, it's the greatest coach in college football history. Right there with him after Ohio State won again.
And Florida, yeah.
Yeah, and after Florida, and then Ohio State won, and it's like, okay, he is just, and then Nick, you know, just went on his run and just said, well, yeah, watch this. But can you damage your brand other than John Gruden? I mean, look at the damaged brands this year. Spencer Rattler, Urban Meyer, John Gruden. Who else is really, I mean, that just was thought, because Urban Meyer was thought to be a great, great coach before this season.
Well, I would say almost Steve Sarkisian, but based on how this season, coming off of Alabama, but no, and Urban Meyer still might be a great coach. He's not made for the pro game. And here's something that I started hearing behind the scenes. I didn't really realize this till about 5 years ago, and it intensified. Somebody made a comparison of Tom Herman to Urban. He wants to be another Urban Meyer. And I said, what does that mean? Because they were talking about, this is when Tom Herman went to Texas and initially had players, you know, not playing in a bowl game and, you know, some former players speaking out the next year after they had left. And the comment was, Urban's a super hard ass, and Herman likes to be that, you know, he's kind of he wants to be cool with the players, but he's also a grinder in practice and does a lot of yelling and screaming. I said, is that how Urban is? Oh, yeah. Urban is very much a taskmaster and a hard ass and all that stuff, which I don't know. I didn't know that. And so when you take that attitude and personality and you take it into an NFL locker room, it's really more than just a college coach can't make it in the pros. That's not really fair. It is that personality can't make it in the pros. Urban's personality can't make it in the pros. But he just did. He just had mistake after mistake.
I mean,
after
it's
mistake.
Unbelievable. He could not have screwed up everything. I mean,
bringing Tebow in
away every step from the strength coach to the diddling in the bar to Tim Tebow to kicking kickers to benching James Robinson.
Tebow was a 30. It's not that it's just the guy he brought into camp. The fact that you brought in a specter, you brought in a sideshow, yeah. a 32-year-old who had never played that position and who used to play for you at Florida, you don't need to do that.
No.
Like you that's kind of a credibility thing in the locker room. You come in and your two of your first moves are Chris Doyle and Tim Tebow? Like that doesn't look like a guy who has a plan for the future.
Well, and it's not only now. It's not only now that he's, you know, not going to be – he'll never coach in the pros again. But Paul Feinbaum says, dude, ain't ever coaching again, ever.
Not a chance. And anyone who wants to write a speculative piece today about, you know, where could Urban end up, the answer is nowhere, Max. This man is dead professionally, and he did it to himself. And, you know, you can talk about the most spectacular flameout in NFL or coaching history, but it was easily predictable. I remember sitting with you guys in January when Shad Khan hired him. I don't know how Shad Khan became a billionaire not being able to listen to common sense. He could have called any of us or anyone else with a sense of sensibility and told him exactly what would happen. It happened a little later than I thought, although frankly, I thought it probably should have happened 4 or 5 games into it when Urban started to show his colors. And in the end, this was very predictable. And I really cannot imagine a major school. I just can't. If you're the athletic director, how do you walk down the hallway to your president and say, hey, I got a great idea. I think we ought to hire Urban Meyer. And the person and the man or woman goes, is that the guy that was at the bar with the woman? Is that the guy who allegedly kicked the player? Is that the guy who treats people like dirt? Is that the guy who barely shook hands with one of his own players after an NFL game? Forget it.
Yeah,
that sounds nice. That's all fine and good. But at some schools with some presidents, they might say, could he help us win and start raking in the money? And that might reignite a conversation.
I think he's done.
Might reignite a conversation. I still think that I would be careful to just write off Urban Meyer, who has a long history of winning money and winning games and making money for schools.
And here's the deal, is if I'm Urban Meyer, I probably,
I don't want to be in the spotlight anymore.
Let me go.
Let's look at Urban Meyer. It started with he left Florida, and it looked like
he was running.
Because he ended up at Ohio State. And there was a long, they had Real Sports had a thing on how he had to convince his daughters and his wife that he was going to be healthy enough to do it again. And maybe there may have very well been a health issue or whatever. But that was the specter, right? That's the first specter. Is he left Florida and everyone was shocked because he said he had health issues. And then before you know it, he pops up at Ohio State. Things are going well with Ohio State. Then the Zach Smith stuff, the assistant coach.
Yeah.
Urban kept him on staff despite all the stuff he did.
Yeah.
And his behavior. And so Urban looked kind of bad there. Then, did he just leave Ohio State to go to Jacksonville? He just bailed and he was on TV. He bailed and was on TV.
Which, by the way, that's done too, probably.
The TV thing, TV thing's probably done too.
Everybody be just looking at him going,
these are specters.
Yeah.
Are following. He's becoming a specter wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And that's not, isn't something you love. Now, is there a college that would hire Urban Meyer? 100%. There's a lot of colleges. Would Florida Atlantic hire him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would an SEC school hire him? I'll bet you they would.
What about Nick hiring him as OC? He can rehab. He can rehab there.
I think Urban's too proud to do that, Urban at University of Billy Napier, if he doesn't work at Florida, Urban back at Florida, 100% they would take him back.
Yeah,
Florida would take him back.
Absolutely,
not even a thought of it.
Yeah.
But does he want to have the spotlight on him wherever he goes? You're probably right. He probably does.
He's done.
His coverage is going to be so negative.
Yeah,
and anything he does that doesn't look great, like any losing streak, everything is going to have a micro because people want him to fail at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, now, this is Friday. Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude. Now, everybody just wants to see him just destroyed. Man, what a big day yesterday it was. Well, our Rockets lost. We can talk about that. We'll talk about that on the other side. Did not look good doing it. And anybody who bet him, you are just dumb for betting him against Cleveland. I don't know why you'd do something like that. I don't know anyone who did bet him, but okay. then Tom Van Haren. I mean,
it was 7-0 to start the game. Like, ooh, that's a little run. Then it was 7-3. Brooks makes a 3-pointer.
Then it was 26-7.
Yeah, it's 26-7. Then it was like 40-19. Like,
what the?
Then it was 60-4-37 at half, something like that. And just like, well, this is just what turns out that Steven Silas, no feel good.
No. Tom Van Haren is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the big haul by the Aggs and by Texas. He's an ESPN reporter covering college football. So
Texas had two guys flip to them. Well, one was Quinn Ewers. And then they got this corner from Ohio State, a four-star, Terrence Brooks. And all of a sudden, that like made their whole recruiting.
It changed it. So we'll talk about that as well. Pat Forty joins us at – well, first, Marty Prim. We've got a kicker. We found a kicker from Ohio State that is going to talk about the Urban Meyer situation. So we'll have that at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. Marty Prim is going to join us. And then Pat Forty at 8:30. Steven and Eric are going to join us from Culture Map, and Five Star is going to give us some winners. He gave us some winners last week, as a matter of fact, as two winners, both winners last week. So hopefully he can
do that again. Hey, as an old friend of mine, he's an old bookie here who lived in town who was a great personality, a guy named Jackie P. Jack Pearson.
Sing.
Jackie. Yahoo! Woo! That's what a lot of my Drayton came from Jackie P. Like, sing it! And he would, he'd say, there, the bugle plays every day. Meaning there's always a
There's always a race. Right.
There's always something to gamble on.
Right. So don't bet something stupid like the Rockets last night.
Do you know five star? Yeah, like something dumb like the Rockets plus a 10. You know, five star, that's a lot of
first thing
tennis.
I heard this morning. What am I, an idiot?
That number seemed high. You always ask yourself, why is this number so high? And why is it getting higher?
Why do they want me so badly to take the Rockets?
Hey, Jacksonville now has no head coach. This just broke in midweek preparation.
What?
Do you know what I'm looking
at? Well, actually, we're going to have, Aaron, don't you have some data compiled about head coaches, about teams without a head coach, the first week without a head coach? Yeah, he's gonna find that for us. We'll have some betting info.
I got fantasy football. I've got my fantasy football playoffs this week, and I've got the Ravens on defense. They're not expected to do that well. I looked at the free agency. You know who the top two projected scoring defenses are?
The Texans and the Jaguars.
And I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna
Yes.
Do I want to be the guy that goes in with Texans or Jag? Should I pick up Texans defense?
Pick up Jags defense.
I know. Probably. Yeah,
Davis Mills on the road has been awful. But
Davis Mills had a week last week.
Yeah, but he's on the road.
I think I'm picking up one of these teams.
Oh, by the way, remember what Jacksonville did to Josh Allen? You think they can't do that to Davis Mills?
Why are the phone lines? Do we have anyone calling in or giving anything away? If not... I need it unlocked because I need just three people. I'm going to take the consensus.
And you'll decide.
I'm going to decide to pick up Jacksonville or Texans defense, and you're going to be responsible for this, callers. Like, three people, whatever the consensus is, that's who I'm going to pick up. Texans or Jacksonville defense on fantasy football. 713-780-3776. I've heard people before say they want fans to be able to call plays. Like, have a one game where fans can thumbs up or thumbs down a play. So I'm going to let you pick. I'm going to let callers pick my fantasy football defense. 713-780-3776.
Texans or Jags?
Because, listen, I do have a shot with either one. The offenses aren't great.
While we're doing that, only 4 days left for you to get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 days of giving, presented by BB's Tex Orleans. How about that? BB's Tex Orleans. We appreciate you. On the ninth day, we'd like to give back to Be a Champion, Inc., whose mission is to use sports, education, and community service to enhance the development of our youth, regardless of age, race, gender, religion, or creed. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Our CEO, David Gao, is going to match up to $500. So that's awesome. That is awesome. In the meantime, while we got those people, they're going to tell Lance about Texans or Jags. I'm going to tell you about the Golden Nugget.
Sound right.
The Golden Nugget. And the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles is somewhere that I'm really, really, really excited about. I really am. And if you, I mean, I would make my reservations now. If you want to go, if you want to go over the holidays, if you want to go after the holidays, you want to go into February or March, I would do it now, man. Because the place is packed all the time. It's wonderful. Yeah, I love, if you love the casino atmosphere, if you love Vegas-style casino, you got the sports betting now there. Hey, when the NCAA tournament comes, go there for the first weekend and bet every game and watch every game. It is so much fun. That's the most fun time to be there. Of course, Super Bowl is awesome, too. You've got all the prop bets that you can make right there on the site, and it's just going to be, you're going to have a huge party for the Super Bowl to watch the game. Well, the big game to watch the game. It is going to be awesome. So make your reservations now, though, because it does fill up, and it's going to be awesome. All the restaurants, the casino, the sports gambling now with the DraftKings Sportsbook, it's awesome. So you're looking for a great getaway. It's only 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It's the Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, that dude was weird. That was weird. I don't know what hit. That dude wouldn't shut up. Tell that dude to shut up while we're trying to talk here. All right, does Lance, oh, you can tweet us as well, at Lance Erline, at John Granato. Lance, start the Texans or the Jags this week? Who should he go get for fantasy football? Which team is going? Now, that's a legitimate question now. Daryl Bevel takes over as head coach, and he's been calling the plays anyway. But Trevor Lawrence has looked like crap. I don't know. Maybe this is a big weight lifted off of the Jaguars this week.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, I'm legitimately worried. Okay, you're going to help me.
No, worried about. I'm hoping.
Well, you are.
I want the Jags to show up this week.
Well, once again, yeah. Well, I just need both offenses to not be good because I'm legitimately going to start whoever the callers. So I need, here's the number, 713-780-3776. We've seen the Texans offense. We've seen their defense. Some of you and some of us have watched Jaguars at times. Whose defense should I play? I'm not going to, I'm first place in that league. But I don't feel good. I'm actually an underdog headed into this game. My roster, here it is. My roster looks like this. This is my team on defense. This is my team on defense. It's the Ravens. They're taking on Green Bay. I'm not doing it.
No.
I'm not doing it. So I need a defense, and I look on the waiver wire, and there we go. We're Jaguars and Texans in Jaguars, Texans, and followed by Steelers against Tennessee and then Raiders against Cleveland. Steelers against Tennessee might be the smarter play.
Steelers against...
But I get a chance to go against the Texans' 32nd ranked offense?
Yeah. No. It's the Jags or the Texans. Let's see. What does Daniel think? Daniel, Jags or Texans? Who does he take?
The Jags. Davis Mills sucks on the road. And I think with Urban Meyer gone, that Jacksonville actually show up and give James Robinson the ball.
I'm thinking about that, but let me ask you a question. Are you – okay.
Oh, he missed it. He hung up. 713-780-3776. Ben, who does he take?
Hey, guys, I have a question as well. I would go Jags as well because I think Urban Meyer firing is going to play a lot harder for, you know, the next coach. My second question is, hey, Lance, I don't know if you saw, but the number one recruit signed with Jackson State with Deion Sanders.
Number one, number one corner, number two in the nation. I saw that. Yeah.
What about it?
Can you break that down? Like, why would he go to Jackson State over, you know, any
I'll tell you what he said. So he was, they flipped him from Florida State, Deion did. So there is a big push by HBCU schools. They want to become relevant in the sense of like FBS schools. And they're FCS schools. And former players are now becoming involved in, you know, as coaches. Deion Sanders is who he idolizes. He wants to be the next Deion Sanders as a cornerback. And so...
And he is going to play both ways.
Yeah.
Deion told him, you're playing both ways.
Deion told him whatever he needed to hear. You want to play both ways? We'll play you both ways.
No, he didn't say that. He said, Deion was on the show before us.
Yeah.
And Deion said, no, he didn't say, do you want to? He said, you come here, you're playing both ways.
Well, yeah, because the kid did play both.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was appealing to the kid to an extent. So he had that.
But if you want to learn.
He's learning under Deion Sanders. Now, this is going to be the difficult thing for any smaller school. It could be HBCU. It could be any smaller school that wants to, Liberty, whatever, who wants to try to be the next big school. They don't have the same money and resources. So these players who are superstar players who are used to being courted, and they go to Alabama, and they go to Texas, and they go to Florida or wherever, and they see all these amazing facilities. When you go to the FCS schools, they're not even remotely close in terms of the athletic department, what they have there in terms of how they, you know, their workout, their weight rooms, training tables. Well, the school itself is not even remotely close.
This kid was recruited by everybody.
Can you keep him for the full four? Transfer portal means you can leave in a second.
Maybe. Well,
and here's what's going to happen. What Dabo Swinney, and I told you this would happen, I knew it's going to keep happening. Dabo Swinney or whoever, or Kirby Smart, or Nick Saban, they will recruit the kid the entire time he's at Jackson State.
But here's the deal. You can't avoid that. You can't be scared of it because, oh, well, we might lose him. Oh, well.
You got to go after him.
But the amazing thing is the kid said, you know what? I would rather go and play for Deion as opposed to go to Florida State in front of, you know, 100,000 people to play that schedule, to be on television
all the time.
All of those things. Here's the deal. He will, too. He will thrive against that competition. Now, he's going to look so much better. The problem for you and all of the NFL people is, well, how can I evaluate him when he's playing SWAC people? You know? And you're going to have to – that's something that you're going to have
listen,
to – he's going to have to overcome.
We live in a time now where appearances matter a lot to young players. You can see it in everything that they do on Instagram in terms of graphics they put together that tells you, I'm so blessed to receive this offer from this school. And you know, when you go down there, and he's one of the first, maybe it won't be like this in the future. But for right now, as soon as you go down there, you will be irrelevant. You're an irrelevant player other than every once in a while you'll pop up. You'll pop up, but you're not going to be Jalen Ramsey. You're not going to be a high-end cornerback.
You're not going to be
the Garyon Conley or whoever you want to take a look at as a corner who went in the first round. You may still be a corner who goes in the first round, and they may talk about you a lot when you're a junior and you got a chance to come out.
No.
You will be irrelevant, and when you play in front of – there's going to be certain road games you go to, and you're going to see 9,000 people in the stands and be like, wow, I could literally –
Nine. Like you're going to go to a place with about
it's not going to be the same experience on campus. So I think that's what Deion and Jackson State now. With that said, you know, there's no reason to believe that they can't build it up. Like Deion can't build it up.
Well, and here's how Deion said he said I didn't flip him. I just convinced him. I didn't flip him. But here's Deion on the show before us talking about how he got him. He got him at homecoming.
He just wanted to do what he did. He came to our homecoming game. That's the last place you want to let a recruit go to if you don't want to lose him. Come to HBCU homecoming? Oh, my God. When he saw how we got down at Jackson State and how genuine. You know, they were in there for the pregame speech. They was in there for postgame. So they knew how we got down. Then I think Shador, my son, the quarterback, really took him around and showed him around town and everything. And the rest is history, man. But really, the mother, the stepfather, the family, we was 100 with him. We just shot it straight.
No lies. This is what it's going to be. This is what we want. This is what you're going to do. This is how it's going to be when you come here.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said, I want to go play for you. Now, it's Deion. Now that's the difference.
And he is a phenomenal talker.
Yes.
I mean, he can spit game like crazy. So don't undersell the ability of Deion as a salesman. I think the real sales job is going to be convincing. My dad said yesterday, what's going to keep – he goes, supposedly TCU talked to Deion. He said, if Deion starts bringing in players to HBCU schools, what's going to keep the FBS schools from getting them? So,
well, and Jay Williams asked him that. He said, you know, these big schools are going to be calling. What are you going to do? Well, you know they're already calling. But, we'll see. He's going. He's going to a big place. He's going, and you know what? That kid now with the transfer portal will go right with him wherever he goes.
I know, and that's a problem.
It's going to be a stepping stone for Deion.
It's the problems with transfer portals. It makes it easy for teams to recruit your players. If you're an FCS school, that's what happened with Jabril Cox and LSU. You know, North Dakota State had no chance of keeping him because LSU came after him, and you understand it. The kid had his last season, and I think that was a graduate season. I'm not sure, but he's now with the Dallas Cowboys. But it's going to be interesting because I do think we're seeing it in basketball already. We've seen some players go to HBCU schools. We'll see if the social justice movement and the things that have been, you know, that have opened potential opportunities to predominantly black schools, if that opens up and keeps open a pathway for high end talent in basketball. I could see it happening because, John, it's one and done.
Well, I think it's the smaller schools that are benefiting because these really big athletes go to an Alabama, Ohio State, a Michigan, and they don't play their first year or second year. They're like, I'm out of here. I got to go somewhere where I can play. And those smaller schools are the ones that are benefiting from that. So it goes both ways. So we're going to talk about that actually with Tom Van Haren next right here. He's ESPN reporter covering college football, recruiting. And so we've got all kinds of stuff to do here. And we'll hear from Jimbo Fisher as well a little bit later. He was on Paul Feinbaum talking about his haul, which was extensive. Right now, though, I'm talking about pajamagrams. Guys, this Christmas, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all with soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie, the texture and touch of these pajamas so seductive, you both will love them. Naturally nude pajamas leaves nothing to the imagination. She's going to feel like she's wearing nothing at all, and you'll like that. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping with free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. But you got to do it now. They sold out last year. We're counting down to Christmas, guys. It's got to be delivered. So let's go. And it's going to be wrapped. Here's what you do. You go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas. And tell them John Granato sent you.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Hey, guys, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing, your opportunity to have a plumber that you can trust. And John and I trust them a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
The owner and his sister run the shop, and it is a family-run business. They don't hire subcontractors. In many cases, they are the subcontractor. They have a fleet of people working for them. But it is a dependable, consistent, and honest company that will come out there and tell you exactly what's going on. And that means if you've got a leaky faucet, it doesn't turn into ridiculous additional work that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. They do the small jobs, but, John, they also do tankless water heaters. They can repipe underneath your home. They even do move piping for gas. Like a lot of people, times you do it for gas if you want to, you know, if they're doing patios, for example.
It was funny. I was at somebody's house the other day, and it made a noise when you turn on the sink when you tried to start, you know, to get the water out. And I was like, oh my God, they need Aqueduct Plumbing here. They got it, because any noise that you hear, any if it takes a long time for your hot
anything
water to
unnatural.
Come, anything unnatural, they're there for you. 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238 or the benchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com. The Aqueduct Plumbing Company, they're at your disposal.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And he's a busy guy right now, so we really appreciate him joining us. Tom Van Herren with us here to talk about the big day yesterday, the National Signing Day. And the big story was Travis Hunter going from Florida State to Jackson State. So let's talk about that and a whole lot more with Tom Van Herren. Tom, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing okay.
I guess you would be. Stunner that Travis Hunter goes to Jackson State. I guess, but Deion can sell ice to an Eskimo, I think. But here's the deal is Travis Hunter going there really flipped the college football world upside down, didn't it?
It did. And I tweeted this out yesterday. I've been doing this for 12 years, and I've never seen a day like yesterday. And it was groundbreaking. It was the first time an FCS school has ever signed a five-star prospect as long as we've been doing our ranking since 2006. So it was pretty shocking. And you're right. Deion Sanders can sell basically anything to anybody, especially a cornerback recruit. I think something that's getting lost in this, too, just given the fact that Travis Hunter committed to an FCS school, but Deion stole this recruit from his alma mater, too. I mean, he went to Florida State and stole him away from Florida State, and that was a surprise as well.
Yeah, that's the one that I think is going to sting Florida State, maybe their fans the most, is that some of them, and some of it may be their parents, cheered for Deion Sanders, and now Deion Sanders is the one taking a top-rated player, one of the top players in the entire, one of the top players in the entire recruiting process, was lifted by Deion Sanders. That was a huge story nationally. The other big story here for us regionally, nationally and regionally, was the job that Jimbo Fisher did with Texas A&M, and it was already a strong class. He got a five-star commitment from an offensive lineman that he flipped from what was it, Oklahoma. So tell us a little bit about how Jimbo Fisher's recruiting class came together and what that means for Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stands out for me is the job that they did recruiting along the defensive line. I mean, it's in the SEC especially, if you're not stout up front and if you don't have a strong defensive line, I think if you go back and look at a lot of the teams that have had success, that's where it starts. And so looking at this class, Jimbo Fisher had two five-star defensive tackles, the number one and number two defensive tackles in this class. Walter Nolan was the number one overall prospect. They signed Eni White and Malik Cilia, two ESPN 300 defensive ends. They had another defensive lineman, Anthony Lucas, who committed on our air. They've got four-star Jaden Scarlett. I mean, from top to bottom, the job that they did up front on defense especially, I thought was incredible, and I think it's going to pay dividends for them in the future. And then outside of that, I was looking at quarterback. Connor Wigman, we have as one of the top quarterbacks in the country. To add him in, I think Texas A&M saw this year that you need depth to have successful seasons at that position. You have to have a backup that can play and that can play right away. Connor Wigman's the number 29 ranked player overall for us. So I think adding him and those defensive linemen, that was probably the biggest takeaway for me with this class, that they're adding playmakers on both sides and they're adding guys that maybe can make an immediate impact.
We're with Tom Van Herren, ESPN. He's covering college football for ESPN. Jimbo, and listen to this, Tom. Jimbo was on with Paul Feinbaum, and he had this to say about NIL.
You can't promise things. You can't say, I'm going to get you an NIL deal, and that's illegal. I mean, all you can do is present what other players in your university have done in the past. That is all you're allowed to do. But there was a lot of NIL deals going on before, Paul, before all this was going on. They just weren't legal. No one told nobody.
So, Tom, that it is true. It's not a secret. There was all kinds of payments under the table. How is NIL? How did it change this recruiting this year?
Yeah, well, he's not wrong either in saying that. And I laughed when I heard that quote initially yesterday. But you know, I think it's changed because something that he said in there that coaches aren't really allowed to say. You can get this NIL deal, but you can show them the deals that their players have gotten, and the intent of this was not to be, it's not supposed to be a recruiting tool. You're not supposed to use it to entice prospects to your program. But anything in recruiting and anything in college football, it becomes a recruiting tool. And how can it not? And I look at Texas especially. They have a few programs right now for their players, their offensive linemen especially. There's a program that's been set up for them through a nonprofit that each offensive lineman at Texas is going to make $50,000 a year. There's another program that they have that is going to afford the offensive linemen to, and all the players to make up to $150,000 a year. So if you're a recruit and you're seeing that, how is that not a recruiting tool? How is that not something that would entice you to that program to say, if I'm an offensive lineman and Texas closed really strong with a few offensive linemen, if you're an offensive lineman, you're going to say, I don't even have to go work to sign a deal. There's a guaranteed deal. I'm going to make at least $50,000 a year as a college kid. That is absolutely going to factor into your decision. And it's going to factor into where you go to school. And we've heard from coaches now that that are saying, I think Lane Kiffin even said this yesterday as well, that they're hearing from prospects of, What NIL deals am I going to get here? I have this at this other school, or I can get this at that school. And it's becoming a part of the process now. And that wasn't initially the intent, but it absolutely
factored into the decision. That's hilarious. That wasn't the intent. Any of us who knew anything, had any intelligence at all about how the system works, knew that this would become a major issue. Dabo said that and the recruiting process for the portal are becoming major, major issues. Well, forget that. It is what it is. I think the system became more broken with
But I do want to ask you before you mentioned Texas. I did want to ask you about Quinn Ewers, though,
yeah,
and the money that he's being. I mean, granted, you can't entice him with that, but the numbers that are out there for Quinn Ewers are just stupid right now.
Well, they were ridiculous when he was coming out of high school. I mean, when he went to Ohio State, you know, if you remember, a big part of that was because the state of Texas doesn't allow high school prospects to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And so he reclassified, enrolled in August at Ohio State, and immediately announced through his agent, which that's another layer of this, that players have, college football players have agents that we have to go through now. He announced through his agent that he had a $1.4 million deal, and that was before he even got to fall camp. So, you know, that all that stuff is factoring in now. And I know coaches have concerns about that, too, of not just in recruiting, but with transfers. Is that going to impact players in the transfer portal? Is it going to cause players to transfer? Because there's already tampering that happens from program to program, and now they're concerned that maybe players are going to be enticed to transfer through NIL programs as well.
Yeah, they open up the Pandora's box, and they're not going to close it now, so they have to deal with it. Texas, that was a big deal. Getting Terrence Brooks to flip yesterday was a really, really big get for Sarkisian. I think it's a bit of a surprise here regionally, because you wouldn't expect that close to the season by Texas to be something that would precede a strong finish to the recruiting season, and yet we saw that sometimes the two just aren't connected. The way you finish a season and the way you finish your recruiting sometimes have no connection at all.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times if you ask these prospects what matters to them, I mean, I've asked coaches this too, that I wrote an article about this a few years ago, and I asked coaches specifically what impacts recruiting more. Is it wins in a positive way or losses in a negative way? And 100% of the coaches that I talked to said wins. Wins impacts you more. That recruits know that you're going to lose games. Recruits know that Steve Sarkisian and his staff are trying to rebuild this program, and so it's not a surprise to them that they finished the way that they did. And so that becomes a recruiting pitch for Steve Sarkisian and his staff, that we need elite level prospects. We need a foundation to help turn this thing around. And they were able to do that. And I think if you were to talk to the Texas coaches, they're excited about some of the players they have on their roster. Xavier Worthy, the freshman receiver, he showed out this season. Bijan Robinson, they're excited about that. But I think they know that they need a foundation to become a great team. And we just talked about how Texas A&M is loading up front because they're in the SEC. I think this class especially is a precursor of how Texas is going to try to recruit. That they're looking ahead already, trying to build up when they do become an SEC team. You look at how they recruited up front on offense and defense, and it's indicative of what they know they're going to have to compete with in the SEC.
Tom Van Haren, ESPN, covering college football. And finally, the transfer portal itself, Tom. I mean, this has always been historic. Well, not this day. Usually it's in February. Now we got two. We got this early signing day, and we got February as well. Is February as important? And are any of these signing days as important now with the transfer portal? Teams are really loading up now with great talent, and it's not on signing day.
Yeah, it's become a big puzzle for coaches. You've got to manage your roster in such a unique way. And I think some people either forget or they don't know, some fans that watch this, that coaches are limited to 25 initial counters each year. So what that means is they can only bring in 25 players each year, whether that's a high school recruit or a transfer. A transfer counts against those 25 initial counters. So when you're a coach and you don't know who's transferring out, you don't know how many high school kids you can bring in. So they're trying to manage those numbers daily. And then they're trying to manage them with the early signing period. And then they're looking at the transfer portal. I saw a bunch of coaches tweeting yesterday that coaches that had finished up their class that were saying, I'm sitting here recruiting the transfer portal or scouring the transfer portal looking for players now. And that's become the norm. So, I hate to be cynical or negative towards what just happened, but I think I'm viewing this now as this is the first recruitment for a lot of these players. Because a lot of those kids that signed yesterday are going to end up transferring, and they're going to have a second recruitment after they transfer. So I do think that's watered down the signing periods and watered down the recruiting process, because it's hard to sit here and say that a lot of these kids are going to stick and they're going to stay with the program, and we know that's just not true, and they're probably going to end up in the transfer portal.
I had somebody tell me before, Lance, you do all this NFL draft stuff. You should be doing – he goes, you really want to make money? Create a transfer portal business where you evaluate transfer portal talent and have rankings for colleges. He goes, you would make so much money doing that. I'm like, these are guys who aren't playing in most cases. What do you want me to do?
Haven't seen
what's
them.
My tape going to be?
Yeah, right. Well, that's Tom Van Haren, ESPN, covering college football. And we appreciate your time. Tom, I know you're busy. You got to be tired. So thanks for sharing with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. There's Tom Van Haren right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's see what TCU did, because John Clay Wolf is here to give us an update on how TCU or SMU. I forget which one you like. You're an SMU guy, right, John Clay Wolf?
I am, but I'd like to switch topics if you don't mind, Pat. I'd like to pick a different topic. Alex, 500.
Oh boy. Gosh, what is it going to be now?
Because SMU didn't do very well at the end of it. This transfer portal thing, how the hell are they going to keep the kids there if the coaches are hitting the transfer portal? If you want to make some money, create a transfer portal for coaches. It's just turned into like a big gangbang.
Well, that's not how I would have described it, but that's different than what I would have said. I would have said a merry-go-round or, you know, something different than what you said. But, okay. You're right, though. I mean, it's just ridiculous. These coaches... None of them live. You got to live out your contract every day. No coach has to live out his contract, and it's just ridiculous for these kids to, you know, look at Notre Dame. They almost didn't get into the playoff because Brian Kelly left. That's stupid.
It's when do you, Granada? When do you think that they put the hammer down on this? The NIL money is the rumbling. Underneath this,
do you okay? Mess. Okay? Are you putting together NIL money for SMU?
I already tried. I mean, I didn't try hard enough, but I started. Yes, I was working on it, and then someone else was working on it. They put it together, but so it'll just turn into what group of alumnus are the best money raisers to put together promoters. To buy these kids. Buy these kids is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Not sponsor.
Oh,
buy
like
them.
SMU as opposed to buy-in players. Okay.
Well, no, we were the best at it. We invented it. The Pony Express Take Two is what we needed to do. But it just...
You got a death penalty for that, right?
Not anymore. Now you get a national championship for it.
That's a good point.
Yep. Not anymore. That's what you get for it. SMU had... How disappointed were you when SMU wasn't included in the Big 12?
Pretty disappointed, but not as disappointed as when we lost to Houston.
What do you mean when you? I mean, Houston's going to kick your ass all the time. That's you guys should be used to that.
Okay. How's that so, taste? What do you think? When do you think the NCAA will put the hammer down on this NIL money and make some real rules?
No, they won't, because they'll get sued. So that's the problem. Is they're worried about getting? They got sued by EA Sports. They're getting sued by the players because of that. They're getting sued. They said, you know what? We're not going to get sued anymore. Screw you. We're not going to have any rules. Go ahead. See how it works out for you. I mean, this is how it's working out for them. Hey, John Clay Wolf, SMU, go baby, go. Go Ponies. We appreciate it. And oh yeah, by the way, go to gimmethevin.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. What an interesting morning with all of the stuff going on and with the National Signing Day and the Rockets. They lost by 80 or something. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Have you seen the box score for the Rockets game?
No. I saw the carnage and here's the live. I didn't need to see the box
lineup.
Score.
Well, I know you did because you had an interest. Starting lineup, Jay Sean Tate, 12 points.
Right.
Daniel Tice, 5.
Yep.
DJ Augustin, 4. Yep. Augustine, 4. Mm-hmm. Gary Bird, 1.
Gary Bird's drawn a little more attention now. This is the second game in a row he didn't have a 3.
Armani Brooks, 3. Okay. The starting lineup.
By the way, that was the first basket of the game.
25 points.
The first point for the Rockets. Holy. What?
25 points.
How many minutes did they play?
The starting. Oh, they played 29, 18, 17, 29, 22.
So not a ton, but still more than. So Armani Brooks hit the Rockets.
Two guys
first,
more than half the game.
Armani hit the first basket of the game for the Rockets and never made another point.
28, 47, 54, 64 points off the bench, 25 out of the starting lineup. That's not a recipe for a success there, is it? Now, is it? Just awful.
It was what they call wire-to-wire beating.
Yeah. No Christian Wood. So that's a problem. When you don't have Christian Wood, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., which is what you were supposed to. You thought it would be a good idea to bet on the Rockets without Christian Wood?
No, Jalen Green. Well, that's obviously the first thing I didn't look at.
That's okay. I just wonder how much research you put into this.
I said, I'm firing. Jalen Green and KPJ, they'd have been 15-point underdogs if they had played.
Yeah, probably.
Those guys, you're a bigger underdog.
Yeah. No question. Hey, we got our 12 Days of Giving is going on right now. BB's Tex Orleans, thank you for sponsoring this one. It's the ninth day. Giving back to Be a Champion, Inc., whose mission is to use sports education and community service to enhance the development of our youth, regardless of age, race, gender, religion, or creed. So if you want to give, please go to ESPN975.com/12days. And don't forget, next Friday, it's only 8 days away, the ESPN 97.5 Listener Christmas Party at Klein's. Mm-hmm. What do you got? You got some stuff.
Freebirds A is just to, because Todd sent this, they're kicking in a bunch of burritos.
Oh, nice.
They're kicking in a bunch of burritos. I've got gift cards coming from a variety of restaurants. I got to lock this down, but I believe Intercontinental is going to be giving a staycation out, it's compliments to my friends over at Public Content who represent them, their PR stuff. Intercontinental wants to do a stay, and then we are going to have
a staycation here.
Yeah, a stay, and then we're going to have a gift card for a restaurant
as well.
Yeah, so I will have all the specifics probably tomorrow for all the different. I've got 3 different PR firms out there bringing some stuff in. So we're going to have some really cool gifts. I mean, if you come out, you're going to have a great chance of winning a gift card for a really cool restaurant. These are good restaurants.
Yeah.
So looking forward to having that available to people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a field goal kicking competition as well.
I think we're going to have a basket, right? We're going to have a free throw or 3-point shooting contest.
That's not my business.
No, but as I understand it, Tyler said he was going to go get it and bring it back.
He
so,
is?
Yeah,
all
I think
right.
so.
As long as Tyler, because then if we have a goal, then it turns into dunk contest.
Yes.
Waivers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to sign a waiver. Field goal kicking contest, obviously the onside kick to start it all off. Mark's going to give away diamonds. He's going to give away. We've got
a former college quarterback coming out to do wide receiver play interception, wide receiver versus DB drills.
Yep.
Bring your kids out there. Let them. No, don't. Well,
yeah.
But you say rough things.
I don't say anything.
Yes.
The kids love me.
What did the kids think of you after the golf tournament?
There was a little kid there. Who the
what
hell
did you
brings
say?
Their kid to a golf tournament?
Who the hell brings their kid to a Christmas party at the radio station?
Yeah, well, I looked over after it was done, and I went, what is this little kid
why,
doing
what did,
here?
Why, what did you do?
I said ugly things.
All right. That's all I'm saying.
No, not at a Christmas party. I would never. It's the
You always do.
It's the holiest time of the year.
You're ugly at Christmas parties.
No, I'm and we will be throwing down some Coors Lights, by the way. Hold on.
By the way, you took a picture with Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, I went to see Gilbert last night.
Yeah. Was that just a spur of the moment? I'm on the phone with you, and all of a sudden you go, oh, dang it, I missed the exit. Exit for what? I'm going to see Gilbert. I'm like, what? Right now?
Yeah.
Did that just happen spur of the moment or what?
No, you have to make an appointment to see him.
You really do?
Yeah.
That would make sense. He's in a rehabilitation.
Yeah, it's like a nursing home.
Physical therapy
slash nursing home.
It's
a nursing home kind of thing that he's in. You know, when he asked us to come. So Wendy went Tuesday night. I couldn't go. I had a Bible study. And then Wednesday, I went yesterday, and we hung out. It was nice.
You're ruining your whole rep. Bible study followed by visiting Gilbert in a place. You're ruining your whole rep.
Well, no, that's my real brand.
That's not your real brand.
That's my real brand. Yeah. So
is that what your friends think your real brand is?
Yeah, they know me.
No, they don't think that's your real
brand.
They're
like, what the hell are you doing? But okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not you, but whatever.
Keep the lie alive.
So anyway, oh, we got a big guest coming up next. Marty Prim,
former walk-on kicker at Ohio State during the Urban Meyer times, has some stories to tell.
Yeah. So I don't know that anybody else has got him. We got Marty Prim coming your way next. A walk-on kicker from Ohio State. He's got
some Urban Meyer stories.
So we've got that.
How Urban lasted this long after hearing some of these stories, I'm shocked Urban lasted as long as he did.
Absolutely. So you know who's lasted over 80 years in the car business in the city of Houston? It's Chastain Ford. But you know why? It's because they do it better than everybody. They were the nicest, the most wonderful people. I'm telling you, you are going to love the Chastains. And here's the deal, is it starts at the top. When you go to a dealership and they just get money, give me. It's just, I got to get as much as I possibly can for this car. You got to upsell. You got to make sure that we sell them the bedliner, the sunroof. Make sure we get them the leather seats. Get them everything. That's not the way they do it at Chastain Ford. But the first thing that they say is, where are you going to be comfortable with in your payments? That's the first thing. And then, okay, let's get you there. Now, what do you want in the vehicle? Because we don't want you to have anything that you don't want. And right now, it's hard in the car industry because there's not the cars that used to be on the lots. But it's better for you because you're going to get the car exactly as you want it. Not the package that that Detroit pushed out on you. It's the package exactly as you want it. And that's happening every single day. And I promise you, no dealer add-ons at Chastain Ford. That's not how they do business. They will not do it that way. So if you're looking for that great Ford car or truck and the way you want it, customize exactly how you want it, you can go to ChastainFord.com and do it all online, or you get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.